I don't see tech as a threat. People keep saying, oh, it's going to do this. It'll be the real estate agent. I see as how do we actually maximise the price for an owner, and how do we maximise the days on market that we can get. AI is going to give us a big advantage, I feel, on getting properties onto the market quick and getting the buyers into a position to buy faster. That's where I'm excited about AI playing a role rather than making the agent redundant. It could happen, but I don't think it will.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey everyone, it's Sam here. Today we're joined once again by Matt LaHood, co-founder and CEO of the agency with over 35 years in Australian real estate. As you'll know, Matt has mentored numerous agents, guiding them to top performance, and is known for his commitment to the industry and to transparency and integrity. So today what we're going to do with Matt is a recap of 2024 and take a look at what Matt sees in the crystal ball for 2025. So welcome back to the show, Matt.
Thanks, Sam. Always great to be here.
I think you are the most frequent flyer. If we were handing out sort of loyalty points on the podcast, I think that you might actually sort of be in the platinum club.
Oh, right up there, I can tell you. It's not something I carry excitingly, though. I've got to tell you, delayed flights, airport food, on the run, trying to flat phone batteries. I can give you all the ugly side of things. It's the upgrades are good when you can get them, but they're few and far between now. That's about the only thing I look forward to is a points upgrade.
Well, I can't give you one of those. But we've both had a fair share of the airports this year. So
yeah,
what's been your favourite trip this year?
Look, always great when I get over to WA. I haven't been there much this year at all, but I just find that they're a lot more relaxed over there, Sam, than the East Coast. everybody's got time. They've got plenty of time. The roads, and it's so easy to get in and out of the airport. And the people, I just love our team over there, actually. Just beautiful bunch of people. But look, I love all the group. I love getting down to Tassie and Vic. I wouldn't say there's one specific because I've got different things I do when I go around the grounds. To sometimes I do a coaching session, other times I'm recruiting, meeting new people. I think my part, exciting part of my role is I just get to meet all the new people all the time that are joining, and a lot of the originals, the OGs, I guess. But Tassie, Vic, Queensland, Gold Coast is one of my favourites. You can attest to that location. Some of our team on the Gold Coast I used to work with in Sydney years ago. So it's a bit like old school for me. I'm having chats I've been having for 10 years, 15 years with them as well. But I wouldn't say there was one standout. I had a great time at the Elite Retreat this year, which I finally made this one. I've had a few false starts, Sam, coming to your events, but I made this one. They're self-imposed, unfortunately. But that was great, those 3 days. Got to catch up with a lot of people. It was good.
Yeah, amazing. And so before we sort of get into 2024 and looking ahead to 2025, because Christmas is less than 5 weeks away, don't worry, yeah. I'm not going to put you through the Christmas quiz this year.
And you're not wearing your hat. Had your elf hat on last year. What are you doing? You're slacking off. You got some flashing lights in the back, though, which is good.
I do. But, okay, so serious question. Have you been naughty or nice?
No, always nice, Sam. You know me. Yep. Well, no time to be naughty. No time.
I think I believe you. All right, thank you. So let's talk about the market. So this year we've seen a steady rise in home prices. Yeah. And a bit of a shift in buyer preferences. So, you know, we've seen buyers be a bit more choosy, particularly in the latter 6 months of the year. What are you seeing on the ground, you know, as far as the agency is concerned? Like, how is the market faring in your main locations?
Well, I've been out and about, actually, in the market the last couple of weekends. So I've been around a few of the team's auctions and things. the buyer sentiment is the buyers just aren't as bullish. We all know that. That's obvious. Anyone that can see what's happening. The sellers, I think, have now realised that the prices aren't, and they're coming to meet the market. So there was a bit of a lull there, I think, in, if you call it, in October, where there was a bit of a standoff. The things were passing in and not selling, the auctions. The country's in a completely different clock. Like, a property clock is all different around the country at the moment. WA's the reverser here. Queensland's a little bit further above. Vic's still catching up after the investment sell-offs there. So the clock's all out of whack everywhere. What I will say, it sort of feels the same now, is that there's just less buyers around, but their sellers are now wanting to sell rather than trying if they get a price. There's more sellers that are serious. So I think the gap's closed. Is that what you've been finding yourself? Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure. I was just thinking then when you said the property clocks are different in every location, I was thinking, yeah, you know, there's 5 time zones in Australia at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, like that's... I'm not surprised that there's a parallel there maybe. But, yeah, I think overall the numbers have reflected that. But what about on the run into the year? Do you think that agents will be able to move some of the stock that's been around for a bit?
Or... Yeah, it's a good question. I think you're flight with danger. I've had a few one-on-ones with our team and they're like, geez, it seems to be a lot slower. I'm wondering if I just go off early. And I think that's fraught with danger at the moment because there's a lot of sellers that have bought and need to sell, which I've been noticing as well. And there's a lot of people that want to sell because they want to be a buyer instead of a seller in the new year, which I think's a strategic move because if you're going to upgrade or downgrade, and you're better off having be in a cash position to be able to do that. I think the phenomena that I've noticed this year, Sam, which is completely different to last year, when I speak to our agents, last year they had a lot of owners that had bought and they said, right, we're good to go, let's come on the market. This year is the complete reverse. We've got people that haven't bought yet and then they've put their houses on the market. And what it's actually created is a bottleneck. Because we've got a lot of sellers that are selling right now and would buy something that's on the market now, but they haven't sold their property. Where last year, people were just buying first and then selling. So there was no bottleneck. This year, the reason when I've actually asked our team why, and I've spoken to a few, I've got personal clients as well, what a lot of them are saying, we're not quite sure what we're going to get for our house right now. Where last year, they were a lot more confident what they were going to get. Because they knew that was a seller's market last year. So they thought, you know, I'll just buy, I can sell it with my eyes closed, which they were right. Now they're like, oh, I'm not sure if I pay this and I don't get that. So now there's a bottleneck right now. And that's around the country. It's not in one location. Even speaking to our team in WA, same thing's happening. There's a shortage of stock now because they got the reverse where they've had 7 to 10 days on market versus the East Coast in parts of it, the days on market are blowing out and they're blowing out because of the gap.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what advice are you giving to your agents at the moment? Like, let's just say something's been hanging around for a bit, maybe it's a month or something like that or a bit longer post-auction. How do we move that stock? Like, what's the most practical advice you can give an agent right now?
I've addressed the team in 3 different locations in the last month, so Queensland, Vic, Melbourne and Tassie and Sydney. And the one thing I've been consistent with saying is that if owners want to sell and they need to sell, you've got to just stick right with them. If you've got owners that are just testing the market and things, just say to them, look, let's just park it until we know the market's going to come back to where you might want to be. If they're 5 or 10%, 15% over, and they're not really in any rush to sell and there's no financial pressure, there's no point them leaving on the market and then there's no point the agents working on those properties because they're distracting their time away from the owners who need to sell. So I've said just pour all your time into owners that need you, that need your full attention, and just say to your other owners that are not in a stressed position or don't need to sell, park it and then when the market kicks up again, whether that's a year or two or whatever, if they're not in any rush, take it off because it destroys the property leaving it on the market too long anyway, overexposure. So I've just said to the agents, if you've got 10 listings and five of them the owners need to sell. Just say to the other five, look, I'll call you when the market comes back to where you want to be, come off, and just put your 24/7 attention into the five that have to sell. That's exactly what I've been consistent with. So it's best for the owners, so they get the full agent's attention, and it's best for the agent. The agent's going to work on 10 properties, only five are going to sell. Most of our agents are commission-only agents. I don't want them spending their time where they're not going to earn an income.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense as well. And then the other thing is too, like multitasking over 10 properties versus multitasking over a much smaller number is going to get each one.
And mind you, they were little numbers. I've got three agents right now that have got over 40 listings at the moment. So that was just an example of two agents because they were auction agents. The private treaty agents, two of them I've spoken to have got more than 30 listings on the books at the moment. So I've said to them, just pick up the ones that you look through. Every owner, go and sit with them face to face and say, hey, do you want to sell now? Most owners, when they realize that they're better off being a buyer right now than a seller, are selling because there's going to be a lot of property still on the market through Christmas and into the new year, which if you're a cash buyer, that's the best position to always be in, Sam.
Yeah, because then the pressure's off you on one side and you've got your picker. Yeah.
And an owner that needs to sell on the other side that you and you're a cash buyer and you can settle quick and they'll negotiate on price, terms, everything. Yep. And we don't want our clients, if we're helping our clients like we do, we don't want them in any stress situation. I want all my clients for the whole company going, wow, we're in a box seat and we'll go out to market and buy everything at the best price we can get it with no stress. We're capable enough to coach our owners to do that.
Yeah, makes sense. You and I always have a bit of a natter about what the government are doing too. Everyone sort of seems to be sort of waiting on the edge of their seats for this unicorn called a rate decrease or rate relief, as everyone calls it. What do you think about how you've seen macroeconomic policy across the country play out this year?
It's quite interesting, Sam. Everyone tries to pick it. And if you talk to the analysts, a few of them were tipping there was going to be an interest rate drop before Christmas. Me, myself, I'm not the very clever economic student, but I've been in the game 35 years, so I've watched the market every week for 35 years. I'm not kidding you. That's what I do. And I've been in leadership roles for 25, so I've had to know what I'm talking about. But one thing I have noticed is that they very rarely drop rates just before Christmas because, you know, if they're trying to curb inflation, the last thing they want is everybody going out shopping. Christmas is always going to be a huge Christmas. People find money. But they don't want extra money being spent. So they were never going to drop them right in the Melbourne Cup day one. There's one more meeting. But on the macro side, the inflation's coming down. That's the thing that they're all carrying on about. But at the end of the day, what people forget too, Sam, is that when the interest rates come down, that means more people can borrow more and more people come back in the market. So if you're waiting for them to come down before you buy, that strategy might not necessarily be that clever either because you'll probably pay more in price because you'll be competing with more people again. So it might be smarter to just suck it up now if you've found what you want, pay what is there, and you might find you're actually better off because your variable rates anyway, most people are taking variable rates. So if they come down over the life of the loan, it's going to be, you know, minutia at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You're trying to ride the market. Like I've actually heard buyers saying, I'll wait till the interest rates come down before you buy. I'm saying, do you realize you'll be competing with more people because their borrowing capacity is going to go up again and there'll be more of a excitement and you'll be probably paying 5% more and there'll be probably less properties on the market.
Yeah, it's not like sort of turning a temperature up on an oven. It's not one dial. It's sort of multiple things.
And here's the other thing. You've probably got some sellers right now because the interest rates have had so many uplifts they need to sell. If they start coming down, those sellers won't need to sell anymore, some of them. They might choose to go, hang on, we can do this now. We don't need to sell. So if they don't need to sell, they're probably just going to come off the market. There'll be less competition and that means there'll be more buyers and less properties. So the price will definitely go up again.
Yeah. Now, in this type of market, surprised Harry Dent or someone like that hasn't sort of lifted his head up out of somewhere and sort of said, the sky's falling or whatever. And I mean, we've still seen a steady increase, I think, in home values across the country. What do you think about 2025? Will we see that continue or do you think there'll be a bit of something?
One thing I have learned over the time in the industry is the two things that stop the interest rates can stop a train. You put them up, they'll stop a train moving. It's like extra weight on a train. But the other thing it'll stop things happening is unemployment. So we've got a very low unemployment rate at the moment. Despite the immigration, et cetera, it's still very low and people are finding jobs. There's plenty of jobs around still. The jobs market's plentiful. So because people got a job, they can pay their loan, they can pay rent. If they haven't got a job, well, then we're in trouble. So I think that's the bigger market to watch. That's why when you think about these interest rates that have gone up so quick, but there hasn't been that much stress selling. There's been a bit because the unemployment rate's low. People can still find, they're still getting paid to pay their mortgage. So we haven't had unemployment. So if the unemployment lifts, I think we've got a negative outlook for 25. But if it stays where it is, and the biggest question is, will they put the interest rates up before the election? So I know if Albo has anything to do with it or whatever, they probably will try everything not to. But will they come down? Probably yes. That would be the angle that they'd be working on before the next election.
Well, I was going to say that's another interesting sort of topic of conversation, I think, for us today is that next year will be an election year. And so we'll have Christmas and then we'll have up to Australia Day where everyone kind of comes back to work, and then a short break to Easter, and then a short break to the election.
Good point you've raised. And Easter's late next year. So these are things I always, it's funny because my agents always throw tomatoes at me as my managers do. And I say, guys, it's Easter. It's Easter, but Christmas coming soon. But do you know when Easter is next year? I say it every year. They go, oh, not you again about Easter. We haven't even got through Christmas. No, you need to know, because if you're an agent, you're advising clients on what to do next year. If you don't know that Christmas is coming late and then you've got an election straight on the back of it, if I was an owner, I'd be coming straight on the market early next year. There's too many roadblocks in the first quarter. So you've got, as you just said, Australia Day, Easter, Anzac Day, election. Now, the world doesn't stop with an election, but who wants to auction on election weekend? Definitely not.
I mean, we've just seen in America, people just stop making decisions, I think, because of the uncertainty of
and it makes
the uncertainty of the uncertainty.
If you did an interview after every election 3 days after and said, did it make any difference? And you did that for the last 40 years, people are going, nah. But they still stop. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Who knows whether it's going to be a change of government or not, or a hung parliament or whatever. But one thing I know is, and as real estate agents, my team, I'm just getting them to focus on someone between now and the election will need to sell a piece of real estate. And someone between now and the election will need to buy a piece of real estate. Just forget about everything else, because you and I, Sam, my team, my leaders, your clients and all your followers of Elite, none of us are controlling what's happening. Easter's Easter. We can't change a diary. School holidays, we can't. What we got to do is get our clients understanding next year now, though. And that's why I bang on about it every year. They go, oh, Matt, we haven't even got through Christmas yet and you're talking about Easter. And I say it because if you don't and you say, oh, well, look, I'll give you an agent's psyche. I'm going to have a long break. I'm going to come back in February. I'll start up. I'll start saying, okay, to owners, look, let's not do anything till March, April, and hang on, there's Easter. And then if you're not doing it in April, you won't be doing it till June, because you're going to have to get away from that election as well. So it's 6 months of no income and an owner. So that's first the agents on commission only, 6 months of no income. Did you look at that for yourself? And second of all, do you want your owner in a position where they sell but they can't find anything because people are ducking around Easter, or they buy and then you're selling their property and you're struggling to sell because you're trying to get around, do I bring it forward? Do I take it back? Do I put it? So you got to know right now with all your owners you're talking to, you got to sit down with them and have a plan. And my plan would be, if I'm an agent right now, and I said this to my team, I'd be listing everything after Boxing Day. Just cooler jets, take them off them, you come back in Boxing Day.
That's the day to put them on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put them on REA, because I've heard anecdotally several times that while everyone's eating leftover turkey, they're also surfing REA.
Well, I think what happens is, if you look at the Australian culture, is, you know, everyone gets together and people go to different parts. Like, you might have family come to you, Sam, up on the Gold Coast, and they might be from Melbourne and they're going, geez, I love it up here, Sam. Well, you say, get on the web and have a look. There might be something in your price range. And that's what actually happens, because people get excited when they see each other again and they're like, you know, your lifestyle up here, or And that's all over the country. The country's so beautiful. There's so many places that you can visit and people don't know about them. They might find out over Christmas and end up predominantly moving. I know your market, the Gold Coast, has its geared all up around January as its peak selling season because everybody converges on that time of year. Now, that hasn't changed since I've been a kid in nappies. I remember going up there. My dad lives up there, as you know, but I've been going up there since I was 10, 5. So I've always seen, and I've obviously been real estate, I've always watched the real estate papers and the now obviously the web and all the functions and everything. It's all around that Christmas and New Year time. So why would you wait till February when everyone's gone back to work and everyone's too busy?
Yeah. It's interesting. I heard anecdotally too here that the Gold Coast is actually the fastest growing economy in Australia right now.
It's flying at the moment, flying.
Crazy, yeah.
You know what I've found with the Gold Coast, Sam? It's usually been a market that goes up and down, like the bellwether sort of thing. But the last 2 years, it's become a destination for people to actually move to for good. I mean, you're a great example, right? But most people would buy an investment or go out and have a holiday house there or whatever they're doing and they fly in, fly out. It's now become, you know what, such a good place. And I've always known about it. We love it up there. But the thing is, it's never really been end destination for a lot of people. I know I've got a mate of mine up there who's a professional driver, and he said, I cannot believe how busy the roads are these days compared to what they were 5 years ago. So he knows there's more people living up there.
I mean, look, now that we've got Harris Farm up here, there's no reason to leave.
I know. How good is it? Is that Via Roma you're talking about there?
That is Via Roma I'm talking about, absolutely. All right, so let's get into a little bit of 2025 because I know you're probably going to have to run shortly, but you guys just launched a sustainability initiative. So what was the thinking behind that? How are you looking to leverage that in the new year?
Yeah, marketing team have been coming up with ways to how can we be, you know, like printed brochures getting left behind and they're not getting taken up. People are more interactive now, digital. People prefer to get everything's like all our operational works now, obviously through Realtair we use, and there's all these other things where it's all paperless. We're thinking people just brochures and printing and everything is just becoming redundant in that sense, as you'd appreciate with what you do, Sam. No different. And that was one of the big things. So everything we're printing's on all fully recycled paper now, any brochures that we do print, but we're more targeting just PDFs, emails on all brochures, floor plans, interactive. And the use of videos driving that more than anything. And our team can sort of interact more with the buyers when they're getting click-throughs on what they're looking at to guide them through the floor plans and things like that as well. That was the initiative behind it.
Yeah, fantastic initiative. And what other things are you going to focus on moving into 2025? Like, have you made any New Year's resolutions or anything that you particularly...
Look, our business is a growth business. As you know, we've got a fund that's continuing to acquire. We've just acquired a number of other businesses which will be settling in the new year. So our rent roll properties under management will be circa 15,000 come the new year. So that's got a lot of attention's gone into property management, back end data, all the support around that. Plus this number of sales people joining us with those acquisitions. So one of the big things in there is integration of cultures into our business because it's 8 years old and that's not a long time when you look at our competition that have been going for hundreds of years. But we've married a lot of people in 8 years into our business because it was standing start, as you know. It's going to soon be at 900 people in the group after 8 years. So that's a lot of mixed cultures, right, in 8 years. You're bringing all new people in. And so my role plus the leadership team is to marry the cultures in. Everybody's using different systems, different trainers and different CRMs. And it's just about trying to get everyone comfortable with the one system and also just the way of doing business and integrating them into the way of doing business. We're certainly not a dictatorship and saying this is the only way it's done. And we don't have all the best ideas. Actually, one of the best things with acquiring businesses and merging is you learn a lot of things off other people. We've adopted a lot of the things that we didn't have when, because we've acquired businesses, we've taken on their systems and made them national, which is exciting. We definitely are not the smartest people in the room, I can tell you that much. So New Year's resolution for me personally is to make sure we have just the one culture and the one team and everybody's getting supported and all the new people that join us find a safe environment, because sometimes it's a bit harrowing when you roll into a business, you don't know who's on the other side. The main people that are talking to us do, but then their teams are going, well, hang on a minute, who are these people? They might have saw a bit of us here and there, but my job is to get in and just say, hey, we're normal like you. So New Year's resolution one, that one. Use of tech continuing, any good tech that's out there, and you've done a lot of stuff, Sam, thank you, with the AI side for our team, getting to know about, getting real about what's out there. I don't see tech as a threat. People keep saying, oh, it's going to do this, it'll be the real estate agent. I see is how do we actually maximize the price for an owner and how do we maximize the days on market that we can get. AI is going to give us a big advantage, I feel, on getting properties onto the market quick and getting the buyers into a position to buy faster, getting loans approved faster down the track later. That's where I'm excited about AI playing a role rather than making the agent redundant. It could happen, but I don't think it will.
Yeah, no, I don't think it will either. I think provided, you know, agents use AI well, then it's not going to replace them. Might replace a few people who think it'll replace their phone calls.
That's right.
And I truly hope that they don't do that. I truly hope they do some of the things that you just said, like going and talking face-to-face with their vendors and not letting the human touch get lost.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm just so excited to see how tech plays out in the space of making the owner's life, our client's life easier. So we've certainly seen that with the use of Realtair and things like that. We don't have to worry about printing papers, signing contracts on printing things out. They just go bang, sign here, done. Contracts just with even taking deposits for properties and marketing. It's just all so much easier now. So how can we make the selling process easier as well?
Yeah, and that's all anyone really wants, isn't it?
Absolutely,
it's like, you know, even easier time at the hardest time.
Well, buying process, because buying's stressful if you're a buyer. How can AI assist with that? I'm sure there's some genius working that out right now.
I reckon that AI is going to help agents find more buyers in 2024.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep,
people,
there you go.
2025, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that AI is going to lend a hand in narrowing down buyers in places where they didn't think to look. Anyway, there you go.
No, I totally
agree.
Here's my
prediction.
No, I'm very excited about 2025 though, Sam. I think early on in the year, I think we're going to get an answer there, but whether they're coming down or staying, and then, I mean, I think that'll put people in a position where the year can just kick on from there. Yeah, I think I'm very excited about next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Matt, as always, it's fantastic to catch up with you and record a podcast, and I will make sure that this one goes on your frequent podcasters card.
Thanks, Sam, and I'll seek you out when I'm up on the Gold Coast next time.
Yeah, it's time we finally had that schnitty.
Absolutely.
But if there was one thing that you'd like to leave people with for the new year, what would it be?
It's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call. Matt LaHood.
You got me. That wasn't practiced.
Yeah, no, I can tell that wasn't practiced, but I can tell you said it before.
Okay.
Anyway, Matt LaHood, thank you so much.
See you soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast, with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.